things like Confucius and some of those Eastern philosophers and stuff like that. That looks so much that it's happened now.
We talk about
and then so much of the history we have is because we're fantastic enough that
afternoon.
Here we are. Welcome to another episode of the Joe and Doug Show. How is Joe today?
It was good.
It rained today.
It did.
This morning. So craziness in my weekend. I made a pretty big announcement. I told you last week, and I just told you a minute ago. I love that you are so cool that when big changes like that happen, it wasn't about what Joe was losing, but he was pumped for me.
Okay.
And so for those of you in our audience that don't know, my family and I are moving to New York. We accepted a position there. I'm going to be the pastor of a new church, and that's going to pull me out of this area, but it's going to open some doors that are otherwise wouldn't be open to me, and we're excited for everything. But it was a very sad weekend, as we had to tell a lot of people. And, you know, the vast majority of people said, we're shocked, but we're not surprised. And, you know, I think people will come around to the excitement. Some people are more sad than they are excited right now. But you were awesome last week. I was dreading a little bit telling you because I thought your reaction would be bad, just because you hold a special place in my heart.
Aww,
I mean that.
See?
And, you know, so I've enjoyed our friendship, and I know it's going to continue, but it'll just be different. And your wife, I was saying, was very sweet. She asked if the church broadcast services, and she said if they didn't, I was sending Joe up there to fix it. And very exciting stuff. Our house is officially on the market this morning, which is crazy. And we have 60 days to buy, sell, pack, say goodbye, preach a few more sermons, do a few more podcasts, and then move.
It's awesome, man. New things, great beginnings, love it.
My wife started work too, which she hasn't worked in a decade, and she's working with the organization that I go to Israel with, and just incredible all the way around. Just a really fun season for us to enter into.
Congratulations, man.
Kids are pumped. Yeah, my kids are really extraordinary. When we told the kids, my daughter's 10 and my other son's 8, and then we have two other boys, their second question. So you'd think, you tell kids, hey, you're moving, your whole world's getting turned upside down. They wanted to know what school they were going to go to. That was right out of the gate. But like the second or third question was, what's going to happen to Bridge of Hope? Who's going to be the pastor of the church?
Ooh,
and I was like, wow, for 10 and 8,
for
them to not be in selfish mode, but thinking about the people who are here. Sam and I were both kind of blown away by that, because we told our daughter in the morning and then we told the boys later, and they both asked the same question, which was really cool. Our younger two were Abraham, who's I think he's 5. I don't know. It all blurs together. He's 4, going to be 5 in November. He wanted to know how we were going to fit our house in the truck.
Take the house with him.
I was like, buddy, I don't think the house is going to come. and then we told Benjamin, you know, they couldn't understand that, hey, we're telling the church that we're moving, but we're not actually going to go anywhere till the end of July. You know, we have several more weeks of things to do, people to say goodbye to, hugs, etc. And it just wasn't computing. They were like, we're leaving tomorrow. And I'm like, no. And they're like, what house are we going to live in? I'm like, we haven't picked a house yet. Like, Graham said, can we just Google best house in Buffalo and then buy that? And I'm like, we could,
yes, totally.
But you have to have money for that.
Dude, you have to promise you'll do that. That's awesome.
And so we had a bunch of good laughs with the kids, but we were trying to give them like, hey, you know, look forward to this. We're going to, you know, have a celebration, I'm sure, at the church. I'm sure there'll be cake involved or whatever. And, you know, just giving the kids like a little something to look forward to. And we went on with the conversation, and they were asking so many questions, we had to have them start raising their hands. Benjamin stuck his hand up like it was going to fall off. I mean, he was ready to ask this question, and we were 5 minutes removed from the cake conversation, but he was not. He was immediately like, so about this cake, do we have to share this with everyone, or is this just for us because we're moving? I mean, he was at what kind of
laser
cake? I mean, he was
focused
on the cake and very excited for the cake. But our kids are super extraordinary the way that they've done that. And and so it's bittersweet. You know, it's super sad to shift relationships and say goodbye to some people that.
Isn't that weird, though, when we lead into that with the consolidation? We spent like 3 shows talking about the consolidation and structuring a moving of removing. And
Joe, every show I was like, I knew where I was going. And I was like, maybe Joe won't throw me too many curveballs and we can talk about those. But you actually were the first one to talk about that consolidation. And I was like, okay, this is the direction we're going to go.
Right.
And I think that's actually, I said it to you, I'm going to add to your consolidation season,
right,
in that sense. But yeah, it's an extraordinary opportunity. We're excited to get to be with some friends. And my roommate from college actually lives like 10 minutes from the church.
No
and I didn't realize that when we were up there visiting. He actually showed up at the hotel just to get, I hadn't seen him in 15 years. Mm. So it was good to see him. And his family, his wife and kids are there and stuff. I haven't met the kids, but his wife also went to Bible college with us. So it was just cool the way God's ordered all of our steps with it. And the Israel piece is really big, and I get to be there with Bishop Stearns, which I'm excited about. So it's going to be a fun season.
So when you're experiencing it, things feel random. And then when you take a look back and look at all of the lightning strikes and the improbable things that happen, and you see the order constructed after the fact, you're like, ooh, something intelligent's been guiding this.
Well, and that's the whole thing. Like, I can look back at almost 9 years of being at Bridge of Hope, and I look at, had we never come to Ohio, we never meet this person. Exactly. We never go to that space. You know, I get invited to an Ohio or a Youngstown Celebrates Israel event in the end of 2014, a planning committee, and I walk in, there's 12 other pastors, none of which who I've really met. I haven't even been here a year yet. And we sit down and they play this video, and this guy, Bishop Robert Stearns, comes out. We say hello, and that was my introduction to him. And then later on, we did the Celebrates Israel event, and I've shared this multiple times from the platform of church, but Israel happened 5,000 years ago or 5,000 miles away. It just wasn't important to me. And so I walk into this Youngstown Celebrates Israel event. I didn't get the memo that I needed to wear a suit. They had reserved seats for us because I was on the planning committee that showed up to a couple of meetings. I don't know what I necessarily planned other than I said I'd announce it at my church. And I sat in the second row, and there's probably 700-800, maybe 1,000 people there. And they're going bananas, like waving Israeli flags, and there's shofars being blown. And I leaned over to my wife and I was like, what is this? And I remember I prayed a little prayer. I was like, Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll serve you the rest of my life. You know, and it was an experience I never had before. And I was like, what is going on? We were not in suits, so we stood out like a sore thumb. And Bishop Stearns, who ran the event, made us feel incredibly welcomed. And hey, you got to come back. I want to introduce you to some people. And then, you know, went around. And then I was like, okay, that was interesting. You know, like I was kind of like, and just let it be what it was. And then lo and behold, that was April, the following Christmas, I get a text saying, hey, I recommended you for an Israel trip with Bishop Stearns. You may get a phone call. I was like, oh, that's so nice. Bishop David Thomas did that for me. And the next thing I know, I'm on a plane to Israel in February. And my life got turned upside down. I mean, that was a real powerful experience, a spiritual experience. And then from there, been in relationship with Bishop Stearns ever since. And he was like, I need a pastor. And a little more complicated than that, but
right.
It's been a 12-month kind of ongoing process, and we've interviewed and all of that. And so, but you look at all the little dots that had to connect, and the people that had to go here and there, and things we had to say yes to, and other things we had to say no to, and just the way that it was all orchestrated and tied together.
Well, and the important thing is, if you truly believe that you'll be guided what's supposed to happen, you're going to have to make some decisions or go along with some things that you can't draw the line with. You don't know how it's relevant, and have faith that somehow it's going to be connected. After the fact, you see how those things are connected. Mm-hmm. But in the midst, you're like, what the heck is it? That's not taking me where I want to go. Right?
Sure, sure.
And so to not grab that wheel, and all of a sudden when it's not, doesn't look like it's going your way, jerk it back and go back on the old path. That's a lot of resistance there, right?
Yeah, no. Honestly, when he initially came to us about the opportunity, we talked for about 4 or 5 weeks, and then we turned it down. And I thought to myself, did I just make a mistake? But we really felt that it was the right thing to do. We didn't feel like we had any peace about it. Not to use, overly spiritual language, but it felt wrong is the best way to describe it, to put it in not like spiritual terms. We didn't feel called. We didn't feel like God was allowing us to do that. And so we said no. And then 4 months later, I had a couple of dreams. We had just a series of events and people that spoke into some stuff that was like, it put that right back up at the forefront. And I was like, oh, I can't ignore this. And it boomeranged back. And when it boomeranged back like that, it actually put my wife at peace, and then it all unfolded from there.
Well, and even like the frame of mind with your kid, we're telling him they're going to move, and it's going to be not now, but sometime in the future. Like when you have a feeling you're supposed to do something, but it's not right now. What happens if that falls through a little bit and it doesn't happen right now? How do you wrap your head around like, oh, I'm just going to have to be patient kind of thing? Yeah, that's a hard thing as a human being, you know?
No, it totally is. It totally is. And it's interesting because like my kids, you know, Graham has had two or three moments throughout this process where I would use the word as a pastor where he was like slightly prophetic, but didn't realize he was being prophetic because he's eight. And so we were leaving spring break and he was saying goodbye to Bishop at his house and said to Bishop Stearns, he goes, Bishop, I just wish I lived close to you. And he was like, me too, buddy. And we were like, where did that be? You know, like, and because the kids didn't know anything at that point. And then this week, actually, we told them Saturday, I think it was Thursday night at dinner or something like that. Graham goes, you know, Mom, at our next house, we should da 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 da. And we were, and Charlotte goes, we're not going to leave this house. Like, what do you mean our next house? You know, you're going to be, and so he had a couple of those moments along the way. I'm like, okay, Graham, maybe you're tapping into something that you don't realize you're tapping into at eight.
Right.
But so some of that stuff was really cool. And even for my daughter, like the way certain things lined up, like she has this book series that she loved and she had just finished like a month ago. One of the books about it's the Babysitter's Club, and one of the girls moves and she happens to move to New York and it became her favorite book over the summer. She read it multiple times and she's like, it's just so cool. And she's got this new opportunity and her friends come to visit and all this stuff about moving. And I'm like, okay, I see you, God. You know?
Yeah. It's like Bruce Almighty. Just show me a sign.
Exactly. It's funny. So the way my wife and I've described, you know, this weekend was, oh, you know, it was incredibly bittersweet. You know, for some people it was very, very sad. And obviously we're very excited for what we're getting ready to step into. And we've been shopping for houses and we actually, our realtor sent us a house. It's like 70 Bittersweet Drive. And I was like, whoa, now it's it needs some help.
Yeah, it was not bitter part. Yeah. Has the exclamation point. Yeah, it does.
So, but you know, it's always tough. And anytime you make change, anytime you make a decision to change, there's always some stuff that, we talked about this with consolidation. There's some stuff that, shifts, there's some stuff that dies and there's some stuff that gets brought along with you. And it's tough because, you know, the Bible says, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, a plant can't come up and you can't get fruit. And that's true in life. Like sometimes you have to make choices where, all right, unless this house dies, unless our Boardman dreams die, unless that sort of stuff lays to rest, it can't be resurrected elsewhere and brought to full fruition.
So how are you on the change front? Are you pretty good at adapting to change? So
or? I love new and I love risk. Like those two things for me, I should say it this way. I love calculated risk. It's probably the better way to say that.
Okay.
I'm not like Joe in the risk department. You know, I'm going to measure it, but I think the new for me excites me. It gets my juices pumping, etc. You know, I have to, part of my vision casting each year for myself is recalibrating myself to give me new to look at, because if I'm just feel like I'm trudging along on the same old, I'm like, okay, we've been doing this for 3 years. Like when are we going to succeed? Sometimes it's just a matter of shifting some verbiage. Sometimes it's a matter of giving new goals, but to keep the vision fresh for me, is always fun and exciting. And so new is good. My wife, is not a fan of new. She likes comfort. She likes comfortable people, all of that. But she's really done exceptionally well, especially in this season as we've been meeting hundreds of new people. And she has had to, like, if we had one or two moments where we're meeting people and she's like, I just, can you walk with me to the restroom? I just need a break. I need to breathe a minute. And you can connect with that, I'm sure. As an introvert, you know, she needed, I have to go in here. I got to consolidate myself right. And then I'll go back out and do what needs to be done. But for me, that's all life-giving. I could do that all day long and do it again the next day.
Yeah. About it.
Well, you know, but it comes into hardwiring at that point. You know, it's just the way that God made me. And so that gives me life where, you know, when my wife wants solitude, I'm like, for how long? 10 minutes, 20 minutes? Like, you know, like, don't leave me by myself. That's not good for me. So
here, let's talk about the ratios of, as a kid, I adopted this, a way of dealing with that risk that you were talking about, is that I had sort of like a comfortable ratio when something didn't represent too much of my overall future. Like if I had one job, that would drive me crazy because all of my risk is in having one
thing. All your eggs are in one basket.
But if I can have 10 jobs, then if I lose one, then I'm not as afraid of losing 10% of everything that I have. I know that I'm pretty confident I can go recreate it if I, you know, if I could. Mm-hmm. But those kind of things where you're leaving friends, you're leaving place, you're leaving job, that represents like almost 100% of what you are. So that would be a different animal altogether.
Yeah, I mean, and but that's been our journey. So, I mean, we did that in New Jersey. When we came to Ohio, we wouldn't have ever met. We wouldn't be on a podcast had we not left everything. And that was literally family, blood family that we left and, you know, moving that way. But, you know, you look back and you go, oh, you know, had we stayed, most of our family doesn't live in New Jersey anymore anyway.
Right.
Had we stayed, most of our friends and stuff have gotten jobs and gone elsewhere. And so those shifts happen. And they happen, I think, a lot of times to grow you. And I even think it, you know, for Bridge of Hope, you know, we have done so much to raise people up. And to some extent, we were going to start being the lid on the top of the bottle. And now us getting out of the way is going to let some of the cream rise to the top.
Yes,
I'm sure that there will be, you know, a person or two that's going to be upset. And I'm sure there'll be people that leave the church. That always happens in the midst of this. I hope it doesn't. But there are also going to be some people that really soar in the season that if we were there, we would be covering them. We would be taking care of stuff and they wouldn't have the opportunity. But now they're just going to take off and it's going to be really good for them, really good for the church. And looking forward to see who that is and what that looks like.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. So have you, you know, I know obviously launching Youngstown Computers was a big deal, but what's been your kind of, to put it in biblical terms, right? Abraham's told, hey, leave your father, leave your family, leave everything and follow me. And I'm going to show you where we're going to go. Have you, you know, you talked about taking minimal risk, 10% risk. Have you ever had one of those where you're like, hey, we're packing everything up and this is what we're going to do?
Not big ones like we're talking about. They've been all, you know, the calculations that come in ours is with compartmentalization, where it was each individual one was reckless abandon, but they all didn't happen at the same time.
Right,
it was, I got to do one and know that's going to be on the lean things because it's only 10%. But if I make it into a 90, then there's no room, you know what I mean, to add more stuff. So everybody had to be more patient with me as I added 10 tens instead of one 100.
No, totally makes sense. You know, it's interesting with technology. You know, when I left my first youth ministry post, Facebook wasn't really a thing yet. It was just starting to come on the scene. I think it was 2005, 2006. It was really just at colleges. It wasn't even for MySpace, right? With your top 8 or top 12 or whatever it was. Right. It was very important. And your bad, you know, theme song. But you know, yeah, I look back at that and it wasn't like today with like social media, like we're still in touch with so many of our friends from New Jersey that were with us at Rockaway at the previous church because we had social media and cell phones and all of this stuff. And so technology allows so much, but even with what the pandemic has done, we have so many people that, you know, watch our services online and stuff like that. You know, your wife said, and I had a couple others that said the same thing, like, you know, as long as they broadcast their services, like you're our pastor, like, and it's such an interesting concept in a world where, you know, pre 2000, 1995, like if you didn't live in that sphere, you couldn't worship together. And now you have this opportunity through technology. It's one of the things that's very unique about the church that we're headed to. The Tabernacle has a lot of people that have retired to Florida or snowbird to Florida. And during certain seasons, they have more folks watching online and giving from a Florida kind of home base to the church and are still involved in the church, even though they're there for 4 months or 5 months or whatever it is. And technology has allowed that to be possible. And that's kind of it's fun to be alive in that
sense.
Well,
at the advent of all of this multimedia, the church was scared. Businesses were afraid of people would be able to be at home and they wouldn't be controllable and moldable and have those kind of relationships with. And that's what COVID did, was it kind of forced that on everybody. So it is a new dynamic that you're forced to, you know, respond to.
Yeah, it's definitely unique because there's something to be said about seeing and touching somebody. I know for Joey's like, you know what? I like this.
I got my smell-o-vision at home. I'm good.
You know, there's something to be said for real tangible relationships. You need those. But the idea that I can connect to a spiritual body that's 3 hours away or 10 hours away and invest and be a part and still have a spiritual community on the ground that I can see, touch, feel. It just is a different dynamic for churches to navigate.
And I'm actually a little bit better with people who live a little bit further distance away. I think I'm better at keeping in touch with them. Mm. Somebody lives right down the road. I almost forget that they're so convenient as being down the road.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I have to make an effort to keep in communication with people that are
further away. Yeah. Yeah. And for Sam and I, like 90% of our key relationships, our moms, our siblings are all out of state. And right. So, you know, a lot of our big relationships are via FaceTime, and, you know, we might see them in person once a year or twice a year. And, you know, obviously you wish it were more, but at the end of the day, like, that's the world that we live in.
That's exactly right.
You know, and both of our moms are very excited because we're going to be 15 minutes or, you know, maybe even closer to an airport, an international airport. So we'll be able to, they'll be able to hop on a plane instead of having to drive to Pittsburgh or Cleveland to go get them. They'll be right there and we can take 10 minutes and go get them. But, and that gives us access to do a bunch of stuff. You know, our kids, we're like, our kids are going to need passports. And everybody's like, well, why? And I'm like, cause Canada's right there. Yeah. And I'm sure we're going to, you know, go on the Canadian side of things. I think they can walk across like up to a certain age, maybe it's 12 or 15 or something like that. But, Charlotte will be there before we know it. You know, she'll be 11 this year, which is crazy. So it's going
to
be good.
We'll have to meet up in Letchworth and hit that.
Yeah. Letchworth is only about an hour. So
yeah,
I love Letchworth. They have a ministry school at the church, and they, either the first or last day of the semester, they take all the students there for like just a meditation prayer time, hangout. And, cause it's just a beautiful, the Grand Canyon of the East, what they call it. It's beautiful.
It's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll definitely have to do that. That'll be sweet. And you guys got to bring Gus the bus and there come have buffalo wings. And the church is like a mile or two from the Bills Stadium. So if you come during football season, I don't know how big of a football fan you are going to the game, but it'd be sweet.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the